At a recent science fair that I judged, I was very struck by the number of student projects that involved music analysis, Fourier analysis. As time has gone by, it's become increasingly difficult for children and young adults to take apart a car and see how it works, or to take apart a personal computer and see how it works. Now I think we're in an era where a student can disassemble music and look at what's inside and try to understand the psychology of music almost without instruction from anybody else.
That's right. I think that there are handles that are available to everyone who is interested in this. That is, somewhere on the web we can find out the psychoacoustic principle behind some perceptual phenomenon, or the engineering answer to some analytical problem. It's all there, and the young generation is so skilled at manipulating this vast network of options that I find it extremely rich, and education has kind of left the domain of the single expert and has become the province of peers and colleagues and passionate users, I guess.
When you first started working in electronic music, an important goal was simply to reproduce the sounds of existing acoustic musical instruments. Presumably that effort is now mature. What are the goals, if you can speak of goals, in an artistic field of computer music nowadays?
It's true that much of our early work was centered on the simulation of natural tones. And the reason was that in doing so, we had a measure, we could measure our success, and therefore what we've missed and what we had realized. For me personally, the interest in the domain of timbre or use of computers is not to replicate finally at the creative level that which exists and is intended to be played by people, but rather to use the computer to do that which we can't accomplish with natural musical instruments. There's a whole domain of musical timbre which exists in nature but is largely chaotic or quasi-chaotic. The noises and the idiophones, the gongs and bells and blinks and blonks that are part of our world, but which have a kind of disorderly construction. The harmonic series is part of all musical tones that we know and love, except for the percussive instruments. But then there is an orderly world that exists using the computer of the inharmonic partials. And that, I think, is extremely interesting because we can accomplish things with computers in the construction of complex inharmonic sounds that are orderly but complex in a way that is interesting to the ear and maybe analogical to musical instruments that we associate with common practice music and performance media.
In some sense, the development of more and more perfect synthesizers is analogous to the attempt of painting to become so lifelike that a painting was indistinguishable from a photograph. And once that goal was achieved in the visual arts, people moved on into far more wild, abstract types of art. Do you see an analogy, the development of music, or do you think that abstract art and, if you will, abstract music have gone in different directions?
No, I think you're quite right. It's a pretty precise analogy. Abstract art and the music of our age, both of them have formal underpinnings that grow out of the natural evolution of the understanding of music and the evolution of music through the various periods from the Baroque to the Classic to the Romantic to the Modern. But there's something else that happened in the case of the world of computers and music. It's that composers are making contact through the computer of a world of understanding about nature and science, which is not a natural part of the musical education. That is, when we use computers, we're dealing with a device that represents thousands of man-years of thought about thought, from logic to engineering, the sciences. All of it is implicit in some way within these machines. So that making contact with a programming language, one's participating in a community which is not a natural part of the community of music and composition and performance. And I think it's a very important difference, because having even a modicum of skill at programming gives one, a composer, control over musical sound and musical structure that is powerful beyond anything I think that's ever been known. The idea of a recursive procedure, for example, and how that can be applied in music. Well, that comes from computer science. It's not an idea that is perhaps a natural part of thinking in musical structure. And these ideas are enriching and have made the evolution of music in our age rich in a way that it otherwise would not have been.
We may hear the composition Stria that you wrote, that's based on math related to the golden mean and the Fibonacci series. Could you tell us more about the ideas behind that piece and tell us what the title means?
Stria, from striation, lines, and a Latin root, is a piece that is absolutely abstract, has no reference to any natural sound. It's based upon that which I was speaking of a moment ago, an orderly structure based upon an inharmonic spectra. And I use the golden mean because it's a ratio, 1.618, which is far enough from simple ratios that we don't confuse the result with something that's a little bit out of tune but was meant to be in tune. It's related to the Fibonacci series, that is, any pair of Fibonacci numbers that are formed as a ratio form an approximation to the golden section. All of this is kind of well known and written about. But what I did was created a piece where the tuning system and the spectral construction are complementary as an analogy we can find in the harmonic series and our common practice tuning, where the harmonic series, the octaves, thirds, minor sevenths, are also the principal formative pitches in harmony. That is, the octave, the fifth, the thirds, and minor seventh. And so there's this complementary relationship between the harmonic spectra and our tuning system, which I built into Stria, but now it's an inharmonic structure and an alternative tuning, which finds its roots as in the golden section as well. So I use what I call pseudo-octaves. Instead of powers of two, my octaves are powers of the golden section.
These are historic tunings, like you would see on an old harpsichord or something.
These are not tunings that we would find in organs and pianos and harpsichord. There are 13 notes to this octave, but the idea is that if one has a complementary relationship between the division of the pitch space and the harmonic or the partials that are used to produce the sounds in that space, then we have what basically is an analogy to the harmonic series and our common practice tuning, which is the piano and organ.